I first heard about Jesus while sitting on my mama's knee. All heart and all ears, my eyes filled with tears when she told where he died just for me. Though the years have gone by, I will break down and cry when the story is told to me still. Though it may be the truth, I'm getting over my youth. I will never be over the hill. Never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was their sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. I'll never be over the hill. What was yesterday's marvel too soon becomes today's mundane. But the world's greatest story, redemption glory, can never be common and plain. Though it's the Johnny come lately men admire so greatly, every new win that brings a new thrill. But there's no current affair can match what happened up there. I know I'll never be over the hill.
Beautiful music.
Never be
I love it.
Over
Listen.
The hill.
I'll never be over the hill.
I'll never
be over Calvary.
Over Calvary.
What a truth. What a beautiful.
Was their sin's power over
I hate
me.
To leave it.
Was taken away. Oh, happy day.
Well,
overcome.
I don't know about that music. Well, I'm sorry about that music delay. I don't know what's making it do that, but it'll be all right. It'll be all right, I'm sure. It's a joy. It's a delight to come to you today and have this great broadcast together, and it's going to be great. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. I'm excited about it. I'm excited of the joy of doing this kind of thing. You know, it's amazing to me. I had a cord there that got hung up and it was making a difference. God bless you. We're going to have a great program today. I hope you enjoyed that song. I'm sorry that music was breaking down on me, but not maybe on you. That's okay. That's okay. We're just delighted to be here. Now, program today, and you're going to enjoy this. I want you to get your teeth in it. I want you to learn from it. I want you to learn from it. Very powerful. The truth of this condition in our world is overwhelming. Churches and ministers are serving the mystery of iniquity. Churches and ministers are serving the mystery of iniquity. And when you think about the Antichrist and how he's revealing himself and how he's taking dominance of our world, it's overwhelming. Now, the Lord gave us here in America a really good day on Tuesday, the election. A lot of decent people, I believe, good, decent, conservative thinking people were elected to office. Now, I'm not putting my confidence in politics. I want you to know that. I'm depending on the Lord. I'm depending on God's power and God's grace and God's mercy. That's the only thing I'm depending on. Last week we talked mostly about political people, what's happening in our White House, the kind of things that our president has led America into the bowels of, how America is becoming nothing but a Sodom and Gomorrah. It's overwhelming to me. It makes me hurt inside. It makes me weep inside. And I cry out. I really do. But one of the greatest things happening in America, overwhelming to me, that's enough to break your heart, is churches and ministers who are serving the mysteries of iniquity. They're serving the mysteries of iniquity. They've left the simplicity of this holy Bible, and they're going after religion of many different stripes, many different ideas. Let me read you what the Bible says. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now listen, for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should not believe, believe a lie. Listen, that they might all be damned that believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, because they believed not the truth. Let me tell you what is damning the churches of America, what is causing churches to lose anything of significance. I had a doctor's wife that talked with me earlier this week about what is happening in their community and the spirit of Jezebel that had gripped the church and was tearing it apart. She had heard a sermon I preached on the spirit of Jezebel, and she was so grateful for it. This was in the state of Tennessee. Now, I'm telling you, it's happening all over the world that people are going after all kinds of religious ideas, religious thinking, schemes, religious doctrines. Many of them are just after big money. That's all. Big money. Now, today I'm going to do something really different. I'm going to offer you a group of names of men whom I have studied, men and women, whom I have studied, whose doctrines are damnable, whose doctrines have departed from the truth, departed from the way of the Lord. Men like Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Fred Price, Rick Joyner, Catherine Kuhlman, William Branham, Paul and Jan Crouch, Rod Parsley, Cindy Jacobs, Todd Bentley. I mean, these are all names that I have researched. I've written booklets on, not talking about them, not putting them down. I don't do that. But just talking about theology, what they are teaching, what they are preaching, and the truth of the Bible as it relates. Now remember, when you get this booklet, I won't be telling you about their money. I won't be telling you about their immorality. I won't be telling you about anything good or bad about them. Many of them are probably good, decent people. But I will be telling you about their theology and the doctrines that are destroying people and destroying their faith. This Bible says, because they love not the truth. Did you know where real Christianity begins? Right here in the Bible. The Word of God, the truth of the Bible. If we leave the truth of the Bible, I'm here to tell you, there is no hope for us. Do you understand that? There is no hope for us. Now, I want you to get your Bible, and let's talk about truth. Let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about the Word of God and how wonderful the Bible is. I'm telling you, God's Word is true to the core. If anybody departs from this Scripture and teaches anything contrary to this Bible, the Bible makes it plain they are in a heap of trouble. Let me read you a couple of verses. Now listen to this carefully. For I testify unto everyone that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. That's this Bible, this whole Bible, this whole Bible. I testify unto you, everyone that heareth the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, are you hearing me? If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, this is plain. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, I want you to hear me very carefully. Listen to me carefully. This Bible is infallible. If you change this Bible, you are in trouble. If you ignore the truth, or if you add to the truth, if you twist it to say what you want it to say, and they are doing that, believe me. For instance, Rick Joyner. I mean, he's off in netherworld. It's amazing the stuff he's involved in saying. He doesn't believe in a rapture. He thinks that's one of the darkest doctrines there's ever been. He doesn't even believe in the Antichrist, a real Antichrist person that is coming to deceive this world. They are into post-millennialism. They don't believe in a rapture. They believe they're going to set up the kingdom on the earth. And I'm here to tell you, they're not going to set up the kingdom on this earth. Now, you can go from Rick Joyner. You can go to Rick Warren. I have a booklet on Rick Warren you can order if you want to know the truth of what he says and to see how false his theology is. The Benny Hinn's. I mean, Mike Murdoch. We can name one after the other, and it's quite amazing. I did a little research this week on a new book that people have already mentioned to me, even on the air. And that book is written by a man named Jonathan Cain. He's a rabbi, and he's off into postmillennialism, and his books are just full of mythology. I mean, it's really Kabbalism is what it is. That's as I see it. Certainly, a Jewish replacement theology, taking Bible scripture and applying it to America and trying to put us in the same bracket with Israel. That's impossible. Well, those books are big time with people, and they sell big time. But you don't realize what the theology is doing to you. So I'm calling you back to the simplicity of this Bible. I'm calling you back to the simplicity of this Bible. Let's just live in the Bible. If you want to get into something really mystical, really mystery, I mean great mystery, go to the book of Revelation. It's easy to understand. We've got a wonderful book on it called The Masterpiece. I've got then a notebook, I think about 200 pages in the notebook. These are 8.5 by 11 sheets of pages. And all about the visions that John saw in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm here to tell you, the book of Revelation is wonderful. You'll love it. It'll change your life. Now, I'm here to talk today about churches and ministers and theologies and doctrines, ideas that are flooding the church. And I want you to ask me any question about any one of these people and what they teach. I'll do my best to help you. Now, I don't know everything about them. I haven't read some of these booklets I've mentioned you can get recently. I wrote them, but I don't know all the details in them because my brain just can't hold all of that. But they're available to you to read. Then you can call with questions. I'll do my best to help you because I want you to live in this Bible, okay? I want you to live in this Bible. Now, here's our number. I want to give you the number to make sure you, listen now, to make sure you can hear us and ask your question. Call us 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588 is our local number. And the email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I'm anxious to hear from you. I want you involved in this discussion today. I want us to get right in the Bible and let it talk to our hearts. Will you? Get right in the Bible and let it talk to our hearts. Call me quickly. Ask your question. Send an email with a question. If I can help you, the ladies are standing by to send you one of these or two. Any two of these three free booklets. Any two of these free booklets. Let me name them carefully, slowly. Kenneth Copeland. You know about him? You know about his theology? Did you know that he said if he would have known the Bible as good as Jesus, he could have saved the world just like Jesus saved it? He could have been the Messiah instead of Jesus if he'd have known the Bible as good as Jesus? Did you know he said that? Oh, yes. Heard him say it. Have it on our video. All about him. We have a set of videos, 11 of them, on the false anointing. They are DVDs or CDs, whichever you desire, and the ladies could send them to you if you'd like to order them. They'd be glad to take your order. That's CDs or DVDs on key ministers in this group. Now, Kenneth Copeland is one of the key people in that group. Benny Hinn, right at the top of the list of false prophets, no doubt about it. You need to know all about him. Fred Price is right in there with him. You can be sure that Rick Joyner is certainly part of that. Catherine Kuhlman. Many of you would be amazed at some of the things she was involved in, some of the things she said. I have a booklet I've written about her that is nothing but her history. No criticism of her, but just to tell you the facts and the figures. Exactly what came out of her key autobiographies and biographies that was written about her from key people who knew her well and who wrote very legitimate authors. And then William Branham. He lived a long time ago, but he certainly had an impact and is still felt by many today. Kenneth Hagin, of course, dead now, but a tremendous impact. Paul and Jan Krauss, he's dead now, but a tremendous impact. Rod Parsley, some very questionable things. Cindy Jacobs, I think she's pretty well off the page. I don't ever hear about her anymore. Todd Bentley, I don't know what's happening to that. But we have booklets on all of these to help you understand what is happening in the biblical world. And wondering why the church world is in such a confusion and such a dark period of apostasy. Oh, I can tell you, it isn't very, very beautiful out there in the church world. And I've done my best. I've never enjoyed this part of my ministry. It's only a very small part. My real purpose is to teach the truth, to lead you into the book of Revelation, help you understand prophecy, help you look for Jesus to come, help you know you're born again, that you're a new creature in Christ, help you understand a godly, pure life, a holy life, help you understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I really have nothing but good to say to you, because I'm here to teach you and to talk to you. All right, grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, the phone calls were just breathtaking last week. I don't want today to be anything less. I want you to ask about someone whom you've heard about, someone that you know their doctrine is questionable, someone you've studied a little bit about. I just want to talk with you, want to hear from you. I want you to be in the middle of it so that somehow by the grace of God, we all learn. I'm here to learn. I believe you are here to learn, okay? Open Bible Dialogue is a program that's really here to help you grow in this Bible. I mean, the truth of this Bible, one of the burdens of my heart is to make the book of Revelation known to the whole church world. If I could be God's messenger to take this book of Revelation and to fill America with it, it would be the joy of my heart. The book of Revelation, I mean, it's the final picture of God's message to his church. It's all about the soon coming of the Lord. It's all about the things to look for as we watch for the rapture. It's about the revelation of the Antichrist and how he's going to come with such evil power, deceivableness. Dark deceivableness. Hey, you need to understand all of this, and you need to know what's out there. You need to be able to teach people in your Sunday school class. You as a pastor need to be able to preach to your people and warn them of false theologies, false doctrines, false ideas, damnable things. Damnable things. For instance, the born-again Jesus. This is big with many of the charismatics. They believe Jesus had to go to hell and be born again. He didn't save you on the cross, they would say, but he only saved you because he was born again in hell and come out of there victorious to lead the church world into a theology that's as false as it can be. But that's what they teach. It's amazing. You may have a question about the born again Jesus. What a question to talk about. Maybe you have some feelings about that you'd like to know. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you. Now, which of these booklets could I send you? Any two of them? Call quickly. Call quickly. Don't let this program go by without helping yourself in your study, in your growth, in your spiritual maturity, digging into the Word, getting closer to God, getting closer to the cross, knowing what is full of error. You say, Brother Chambers, is it right for the church to expose false preachers? That's a good question. I wish you'd ask it instead of me, but I'll be glad to answer it. Let me tell you about this early church. Jesus wrote to them, the church at Ephesus, for instance. And what did he say to them? He said, I know thy works, that and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Now, that's what the Lord Jesus himself said to the church at Ephesus. He said, you have tried them who say they are apostles and have shown that they are lying to you, that they're preaching untruths. They're preaching truths that are not in my Bible, and you have exposed them. The Lord was bragging on the church at Ephesus for doing that. Now, he also told them they'd left their first love and they need to repent and do their first works over, because he was playing with them and he was balanced with them. He told them the good things they were doing and he told them the bad things they were doing. That's why I've been very careful to keep my ministry balanced. I do warn of false prophets. I do tell of the theologies preached and taught by those false prophets. I do warn you of books that come out. You remember when the book came out, The God Chasers. We have a booklet on that, and you could get that booklet on the God Chasers book. You remember The Prayer of Jabez, another bad book. And, of course, you remember Harbinger by Jonathan Cain. Terrible book, terrible book. These theologies do nothing but take people out of the Bible and put them into mystical thinking. Put them into thinking that's not biblical. I call you to the Bible, to the plain, simple truth of the Bible. What more could you want? The Word of God, the holy truth of God. Again, the numbers to call, and I would love to hear from you. I really would. I would love to hear from you. To be a blessing to you is one of my greatest desires. I promise you, it's one of my greatest desires. Well, I didn't suppose to do that, but I did, and I'm sorry, and I'm back. Sometimes when you're going through this thing, and I do these things myself, it's amazing. There's the number. You can call us. Here's the local number. You can call us, and here's the email. I'll leave that up a minute so you can email us. We'd love to hear from you. You are very important. All right, your question, your comment, your disagreement, whichever. I'm here to take them. I actually love it. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884, and then the email in front of you, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, that's only for those who are watching by internet and not the radio audience. Well, I love to do those things to try to kind of help you and to keep numbers in front of you, and that's our purpose. That's why we're here. You are special to us. You are very special to us, and we want to be a blessing. Now, grab your phone. Grab your mouse. What is your question? Hey, listen. Listen to me. The theologies out there are very questionable. For instance, rock music. I don't have anything to offer you on that today. I'll be doing something on that again shortly. But I want to tell you, rock music, you find a church into rock music big time, and then you ask them about their theology. You ask them about their preaching on the rapture and the pre-trib event of Jesus coming, and ask them about the Antichrist, and almost every one of them, they have missed all of that, left all of that, and are into theologies that really can trouble your heart. Want to hear from you? 1-800-338-7884. You are absolutely special to us. I promise you that. You are special to us, and we want you to live in the Word and walk in the Scripture. We really do. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Sanders. My name is...
Go ahead now. I'm sorry. Go ahead now. I'm sorry.
Yes, my name is Gary Fischler. I'm calling from New York.
Oh, calling from New York.
Yes, I called a few weeks ago regarding the doctor's film clip, and I thank you for straightening out that issue. Today's question has to do with I want to know, where did Jesus go after he died before the resurrection?
Where did Jesus go after he died before the resurrection? You know, that's a wonderful question, and it's a very beautiful subject. Jesus went into paradise, or Abraham's bosom, in the heart of the earth. This is where the Christians of the Old Testament had to go when they died. These are the believers, the saints of God throughout the Old Testament. They went into Abraham's bosom, or into paradise. It was a place called Upper Sheol, not Lower Sheol. That's where the wicked went. That was hell. But Upper Sheol is where the righteous went. Well, Jesus went there and preached unto the spirits in prison. I have a wonderful booklet on that, and I'll be glad you to ask the ladies, and I will send it to you. And it's really all about Jesus descending into hell and the triumph. Now, not into the fiery hell, but upper hell, upper Sheol. And the triumph when he came out, because many of the Christians in the Jerusalem area was resurrected and literally went into the city before they ascended up to heaven.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you ever studied that before?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever studied that before?
No, but I had wondered, and you brought up the topic just a few moments before.
Well, you see, that's the bad thing about what many of the charismatics have done. They've taken Jesus going into hell into Upper Sheol. I say that again because I want to make sure people know he didn't go into hell, the place of fire. He went into Upper Sheol, which was the place of the righteous dead. And you know, you can find where it was quoted. You'll find where it was quoted in the book of Acts that King David said that Jesus would not be left in hell, but he would be staying there. He would be there, of course, until the resurrection of Christ. But Jesus was resurrected 3 days later, and so he's only in the place we call paradise approximately 3 days.
Right.
Okay. All right, stay on the phone and let the lady send you a free copy, okay? That's line two, ladies. Send him a free copy. I want to make sure he gets that. And we'll go right here to another call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello?
Hey, you're there?
Yes, sir. I'd like to say, first of all, I thank everybody for voting for Tom Tillis and we got rid of Kay Hagan.
You know, that was a victory, wasn't it?
Yes, that was wonderful.
It was wonderful, and she was really a liberal, and many others, of course. And now let's pray hard for those who have been elected that they will go to Washington or wherever they may be their appointment, and that they will go there with a determination to stand for biblical and old-fashioned American values.
Yes, sir. And my question was, I was wondering, what do you think on Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
You know, I get that question a lot. And I know nothing about what is happening with him now. I know nothing about what he teaches. And so I have to say to people, I can't answer because I don't know. People say he's preaching very good, that he's really staying with the Bible. And so I would not be able to answer your question.
Yes, sir. I do know every once in a while I'll turn it over and watch. And the music that they have on there sounds like rock and roll music most of the time.
Well, I don't have any use for rock and roll music. I do believe in good, lively music. You heard the song when we came on the program today. I believe in good, lively music. I believe in, you know, we have drums and we have, you know, we have horns in our churches. But we don't believe in them being dominant. And there's a world of difference when you get rock music from good gospel music.
Yeah, when it puts you in the mind of being in a bar room, I don't want
nothing to do with rock music. I don't even like any of the, almost none of the contemporary songs. Sing for me. There are some new songs that are good if the beat's right and if the words are right. The singing should be full of the Bible. If it's not full of the Bible, then it's not the kind of songs we ought to sing in God's house. In fact, it's not the kind of songs we ought to sing anywhere.
Well, I sure do appreciate it.
Well, you know, I have no interest but to stand for the truth and to do what's right. I don't know why that phone is ringing like that and coming in here, but the ladies, I'm sure, will answer it. I want you to know, friend, it is a delight and a joy. It is a delight and a joy to talk with you, and may God bless you. I'm very sorry. Please hold the phone a minute, will you, please? You know, I think that was my fault. I think I didn't, well, they didn't pick up, maybe. Go ahead now. You on the air. Go ahead, sir. You're back on. All right, he's gone. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. That was a call that I put on hold, and the ladies must not have heard me ask them to answer it. I hope he'll call back. Please, sir, call back from New York and let us send you that booklet. The ladies will take that now. Your questions are important today. We're talking about what's happening in the theology of the church. Now, you know as well as I know that theology today is terribly lacking. Most people have very little acquaintance with the Bible. I get amazed when I say to somebody, are you ready for the rapture? And they say, what are you talking about? Or I say to them, do you understand the Antichrist will be here immediately after that rapture? What are you talking about? I say, do you understand the pre-trib rapture? And they don't even understand those words, the pre-trib rapture. Let me tell you what the pre-trib rapture means. It means Jesus will come to get the saints of God before the 7-year tribulation period, when the Antichrist is revealed on this earth. before the mark of the beast is required of everybody on this earth in the middle of those 7 years, Jesus will come before the 7 years begin and get his church, his rapture ready saints. That's what the pre-trib rapture means. If you don't understand those terms, please let me help you. The pre-trib rapture. The rapture before the tribulation period begins. Tell your friends about that. Help them understand that term. I was blown out of the water this week when I asked a dear part of my family, somebody I love, do you understand the pre-trib rapture? And he looked at me and said, what's that? And I couldn't believe it. This man's been saved many years, and he didn't know what the term pre-trib rapture was all about. Well, that blew me out of the water. And so here, I'm here. That's why I'm on this radio, is to teach these old-fashioned truths of the Bible with all of my heart. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. It is imminent. He could literally come today, any moment now. He could appear. I'm watching for him. I'm waiting for him. I want you to be watching for him. Do you know what the Bible says? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without salvation. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without salvation. Are you looking for him? Somebody said, man, I'm not looking for him. Well, you need to start looking for him, because he's coming for those who are looking for him. He's coming for those who are looking for him. So I want you to understand, if you don't understand the rapture, call me right now or send me an email. If you don't understand the words pre-trib rapture, call me right now. Let me explain that to you. If you don't understand the Antichrist coming, call me, email me. Let me explain that to you. I want you to understand this. I really do. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned about some of the pastors out there, some of the ministers, they talk about having a kingdom set up here on earth.
That's called kingdom dominion theology. The charismatic world, in the Catholic world, is called post-millennialism. Presbyterians, Lutherans, about all of the mainline churches believe in post-millennialism. They believe that simply we're going to have 1,000 years of righteousness and peace, and then Jesus will come back.
Oh, yeah, and I attended a church in LaGrange, Georgia, that taught that, but they didn't teach it where you can get it, you know, all at one time. They taught it so subtle.
Yes, they'd run you off, see, because there's a majority of people in America that do believe in the rapture. And if they taught it openly, they would lose those people.
They would. And I tell you what, they started a Tuesday night Bible study, and when in that first Tuesday night Bible study, and they shared it, my wife and I and my family, we got out of that church quick.
Yes, sirree. Anybody in a post-millennial church is in a church teaching a very false thing. Very false. The pre-trib rapture, the coming of Jesus to get his bride. That early church lived expecting him to come in their day. The church has always, the true church, has always looked for Jesus any minute.
That's right, absolutely.
Absolutely. And he's coming. We are living when the scriptures have been so perfectly fulfilled. Never has there been such a day. Israel became a nation in 1948. We are right on the verge of that glorious event called the rapture. And the whole world needs to understand it.
Oh, yeah, I believe that, too. I believe it wholeheartedly.
I'm glad you called, my brother. Any further question?
No, I just wanted to make that comment that people need to be aware that that type of teaching, they give it subtle and just try to do it under the radar. And if they're not reading their Bible and plugged into what's going on, then
they won't even understand. And before you know it, they're caught up in it. See, this is what these rock and roll churches are into. They're into the same thing. I mean, I don't know that every one of them is into it, but as a whole, rock and roll churches are into postmillennialism or kingdom dominion theology. If they believe anything about the rapture, it's all stewed up.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
If you have any material, I'd love to get some material.
I have gobs of material, sir. Go right on the internet and go to our internet at paulquick.org and much material. Much material. I have videos. I have audios. Call the office one day next week. They'll tell you the things we've got, and they'll send them to you. And you need to get my book on the masterpiece, the book of Revelation. I really document the pre-trib rapture in my book entitled The Masterpiece.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Please call and order that book, will you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you will love it. I promise you, you will love it. You're on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Are you there? Are you there? You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, for some reason here, I'm not getting through. Tell me, ladies, what lines are open for me. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number, 704-391-0588. I have the capacity to put numbers up, but it's a little something I haven't learned. And a while ago, I cut me off when I put a number up, so I'm not going to try that again. I'll do it in the future, okay? Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. We're getting somewhere. We really are. If I get you understanding about the soon coming of the Lord and get you understanding these great Bible truths, it will be my joy. It really, really will. I believe that's why God has me here, is to show you the truth of Jesus coming and to teach you about Pentecost, the book of Acts, and get you ready and prepared and filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be an overcomer. So that you can understand discernment and the good things of the Lord. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, preacher. I voted for Tom Tillis, too, but they had some pretty negative ads on the TV about him.
Yeah, I understand.
And it wasn't good, but he was the lesser of two evils. But
I'm going to tell you, a lot of that stuff on television about him was a lie.
Is that right?
Absolutely. What? You need to call his office and ask them to send you the proof.
I sure will.
And everybody, don't take anybody's word, not even mine, okay, when it comes to politicians, because we try to understand them, but we don't fully understand them. But I can tell you this about Thomas Tilly. He does not believe in same-sex marriage.
Oh, he does.
He does not believe in full abortion like the abortionists want.
He doesn't.
He's got some good positions.
I realize that. But I have another question. My
Good.
Niece's son asked her, and I want to ask you, did the Jews put Jesus on the cross?
Did the Jews put Jesus on the cross? Let me tell you who crucified Jesus. You want to know?
Mm-hmm, I do.
The Father.
The Father.
Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and you will see that it was the Father that crucified him.
53, Isaiah.
Isaiah 53, the Father crucified his Son. Let me read it. That's just too good to pass up. I need to read it. I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 53, we'll go to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Yeah.
He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, that's the Father, shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Well, that answers
he shall see the travail of his soul.
Amen.
And shall be satisfied. This was the Father crucified his Son. Now the Jews was certainly complicit with it. And the Romans were complicit with it.
They allowed it, didn't they?
The Jews, the liberal Jews, who were the powers that be in the temple and in Jerusalem, they wanted him crucified because they didn't believe he was the Christ. They didn't believe he was God's Son.
Uh-huh. They permitted it, but they didn't allow it, did they?
That's right. But they have paid for it.
I paid over and over.
And they are going to be forgiven. Because when Jesus comes back at the end of the 7 years, they will say to him, "Where did you get those wounds in your hands?"
Yes, sir.
And he will say, "In the house of my friends."
Isaiah 53. Thank you so much.
God bless your heart. God bless you. That was a good one. I love questions like that. And you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I just called in to get some literature.
Okay.
The ladies helped me with that. But while I'm on the line, I want to ask one quick question.
Good.
Can you give me your comments on churches selling raffle tickets to make money?
Churches selling raffle tickets.
The Kingdom of God.
I would never do that. There is no way I would involve anything that I'm part of in any kind of thing that's a gamble. When you put up money that you might win, but you're not sure you're going to get it, that's called gambling, and I'm 100% against gambling.
That was my exact thought, but there was a lot of disagreement. So,
well, you, why would a church ever gamble to raise money? Come on. There's too many good ways to raise money. For instance, pay your tithes and give your offerings. That'll work.
Absolutely.
So when a church goes into gambling to raise money, I think that church has left the way.
Yeah.
I think you would need to find a different church unless they're willing to deny that in the future.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to reading your book on the paradise or the upper second level.
Yes.
But Jesus went to hell. I'm looking forward to receiving that literature.
That is a good booklet, and you've already ordered it, right?
Well, the ladies were going to get with you to find out the exact name of it.
All right. It's a good booklet, and that will educate you. That's a beautiful booklet. I love it. What he accomplished when he was in the bowels of the earth is breathtaking. He led the captive free, and it was a triumph as he led them out of that place and took them to the heavens where the Father's throne is. That's a beautiful subject. Thank you for calling, and God bless your heart. You know, it is so enjoyable to do things like this and to do my best to be a blessing to you. You call quickly. I want to help you, okay? 1-800-338-7884, and I hadn't even thought about the web. Let me go see here. Here's a question. Joel Osteen preaches a message of God's love for us, and we have untapped potential. What's wrong with that? There would be nothing wrong with that if you preached the rest of the truth. Oh, yeah, nothing wrong preaching God's love and our untapped potential. Most of you out there haven't even come close to your potential. You haven't even come close. If you live in this Bible and you live a godly, pure life, clean from the world, clean from sin and wickedness, and become a vessel filled with God's Holy Spirit, the potential of those listening to me is breathtaking. Absolutely. And so Joel Osteen's message on love and your potential, that wouldn't be bad if it was preached in the right context with all the rest of the Bible. But he doesn't even believe that homosexuality is a sin. I think that clarifies it, you see. You got to believe the whole Bible. Thank you for that good question. Let's see if I can find others here. Today's topic, could you briefly explain the doctrine of Calvinism? Is that false? And who would you consider Calvinists today? I won't go into that because I've not studied them enough. There seems to be a lot of confusion today regarding this subject. Now, what is Calvinism? There are five doctrines to Calvinism. I usually can name them, but maybe not in the middle of a radio program. But the one that's so questionable is limited atonement. That means God has chosen already exactly who is going to be saved, and nobody else can be saved. If you have been designated and predestined to be lost, you're lost. If you've been predestined to be saved, you're going to be saved whether you want to be or not. Oh, he'll make you want to be, they would say. So Calvinism is a very questionable doctrine. Very questionable. But the main point of difference that I always point out is the limited atonement. They believed in limited atonement. God has chosen who will be saved and who will not be saved, and nobody can change that. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will, let him come. I'm telling you, anybody that will come to Christ and trust him and surrender to him will be born again. And you have been predestined to be saved, to tell you the truth. God has a plan for every one of us. Every living soul on this earth, God has a plan. I tell young boys, God has a wife for you. Don't you choose it. Real marriages are made in heaven, not on this earth. You make sure you let God choose that person, and you wait for his time. Young lady, you wait for that young man whom God directs you to. Oh, you say, but he's so handsome. Oh, she's so beautiful. That has nothing to do with it. Do you understand? I don't know. I was so blessed. I got this beautiful woman who was also this wonderful woman, who was also this loving darling. And I've had her 59 years, and I was blessed. But I want to tell you something. When you get a woman that God has ordained for you, when you see her, you'll fall in love with her. And she'll be so beautiful. She'll be so beautiful. You say, somebody else thinks she's a... It don't matter what they think, brother. When you fall in love, he or she will be handsome or beautiful. Hey, was that okay? That was just an addition. That was a rabbit trail, but it sure was a good one. It sure was a good one. I'm telling you, very, very important. Now, let's see if I can go to another one. How many times does Jesus come back? Rapture, judgment, set up his kingdom. Sounds like more than once. Jesus comes back in the air, not to the earth. Jesus only comes back to this earth one time. One time. He comes in the air the first time to get his saints. We meet him in the air. We go back to heaven with him. At the end of that seven years, we come back to reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years is over, this earth will be made brand new. And he will establish his kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. And we'll be with him forever. So he only comes once to the earth. He comes twice, considering the rapture. But actually, the rapture and the coming back to set up his kingdom is part of each other. They blend together. They may be 7 years apart, but they're actually part. He comes to get his bride because they're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And he comes to get them to have the wedding feast in heaven while the tribulation is on the earth. And then he sets up his kingdom. And we, the bride of Christ, the saints of God, will reign with him. We'll rule with him. We'll be kings and priests and governors and councilmen and godly men and women reigning with him on this earth. What a day that's going to be. Hey, grab your phone. Grab your phone. You know what the number is to call, don't you? Let me see if I can get those numbers up for you again without messing up here. I think I can. I will try, and hopefully I will not fail. There's the number that's toll-free. Write it down, 1-800-338-7884. 338-7884. Here's the local number, 704-391-0588. You got that? 391-0588. And here's our email. This is very important because you can go after the program and hear the program again. It's archived 24/7. You can call your friends and tell them where to go and hear the program. So this is my email, jrc@paulcreek.org. All you got to do is leave off the jrc at, and you got paulcreek.org. That's our website. Hey, we want to be a blessing to you. We really do. You are so important to us. Let me see here. God bless you. Here's another question. Your religious dogma has no place in our society. Why are you so obsessed with gay marriages and abortion if neither one of them involve you? Your religious dogma will not be the law of the land. I don't want my religious dogma to be the law of the land. I don't want that. Now, in the millennial kingdom, it will be. And my friend, you won't even get to be a part of it if you don't turn your life over to Christ. It's very sad, John. Really, it won't call the last name, John. I'm praying for you. I pray that God will bring you to the light of the gospel. It's a wonderful message. It really is. And the truth, you'll never, never find anything as beautiful as the truth. And you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I had called a little earlier, but I had two more questions I meant to ask you.
Okay.
One of them is, when is the day of the Lord?
When is the day of the Lord? It's the day when Jesus comes, begins by the rapture, then 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year millennial reign, and then his kingdom set up forever. So the day of the Lord begins with the rapture and will be continuous. It's a period of time. It's the end. I mean, it's when the earthly scheme is over and the kingdom of the Lord comes in his glory. First to rapture the church, to judge the world, then to set up his kingdom. All of that is the day of the Lord.
Right. And then I was going to ask you, are the elect, is that the church or the Jews?
The elect Jews are special. The elect church is special. So God actually has an elect people who were his family from whom Jesus was born. They were indeed the family of our Lord. They are his elect. They are his elect, but they still got to do right. And then the church is an elect. We are the chosen of the Lord. And he chooses whomever will surrender to him. His Holy Spirit, the Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. What happens between the called and the chosen? The one who's called surrenders, dedicates, believes. When you're called and you surrender to Christ, you become a chosen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, delighted. I love questions that help people grow in the Bible. Now, the lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. You're a part of us. We care about you. Again, the numbers, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, listen. I want to tell you, let me put this, get rid of this call. Sometimes I forget to do that. I'm sorry. That's part of me. You know, I'm just one of you, just like you. I wish I was perfect, but I'm not. But one day I'm going to have a brand new body and I'm going to be perfect. Now, let me tell you, today I want you to order the booklets that you would be interested in. Two at least will be free for you. Kenneth Copeland, I've written all of these myself. I did all the study, did the research, got all the data. I know what I'm talking about. You will see the difference between what they teach and what the Bible teaches. That's really basically all I've ever done when I've studied false teachers, is show what they teach and then show it in the Bible as to the truth and show the difference. Very important. Let me name them. Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Fred Price, Rick Joyner, Catherine Kuhlman, William Branham, Kenneth Hagin, Paul and Jen Crouch, Rod Parsley, Cindy Jacobs, Todd Bentley, and I have others, but those are the ones I bring to you today, and I would love for you to have any two of them. You call the names, the ladies will take the names, and we will be delighted to be a blessing, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, a question. I'm Oscar Hess, and I live in Ohio.
Okay.
Brexel, Ohio, and I want to ask you this question. The marriage supper of the Lamb, when does this take place?
Oh, that's a good question. When the rapture takes place, there will immediately be what is called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the people who go in the rapture will be judged and receive their rewards. After that, as the 7-year tribulation period occurs on the earth, sometime between the rapture and the return of Christ to the Battle of Armageddon, the wedding supper will take place in heaven. So the wedding supper will take place in heaven, and it will be sometimes after the rapture and before the 1,000-year millennial reign. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but it tells us that it will occur before Jesus comes back to fight the Battle of Armageddon. Because when he comes back, the saints come with him, and they will already have received their rewards, and they will set up with him his kingdom on the earth. So you have to have the judgment seat of Christ and the wedding supper in heaven before Jesus and the saints come back at the end of the 7 years. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
I hope that helps you, my dear brother.
Yeah, I have your program on the internet right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love you. I love you. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Well, I don't get that one. I'm sorry, ladies. You'll have to help me with it. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers.
Yes.
I just heard you say you was a commandment-keeping pastor.
I am a commandment-keeping pastor, sir. But I don't keep your Saturday. I keep my Sunday.
Well, there is no such thing as that.
Well, you better go read your Bible. the book of Acts, every time they worshiped in the book of Acts, they did it on the first day of the week.
No.
Oh, yes, they did. I have a booklet, and I'm not going to argue. I have a booklet about it. I'll be glad to send it to you. Would you stay there and let my ladies take your name and address, and I'll send it to you free.
You're a false teacher.
Are you willing to read my article?
I don't believe in what you say.
You know, I'm sorry. This dear man, I would love, why do people get all tied up in something, see, that does nothing but take away from the beauty of the Bible? Go to the book of Acts. Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. The Holy Ghost came on the first day of the week. Jesus preached on the first day of the week three different times in the book of Acts. Every worship service for the New Testament church was on the Lord's Day. He even said to them to bring their money to the house of God, to their church, on the first day of the week. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in Revelation 1 and 10. All of these were the first day of the week. And so it's beautiful to study how the eighth day became the day of new beginning. I have a wonderful article on that. How the eighth day was even celebrated. Even the ark landed and Noah came out of it on the first day of the week. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on the first day of the week. Both of them was a type of the future eighth day when the church would worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. The Jews had their Sabbath. We Christians have our Sabbath. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, it's good. It really is. And you can have a copy of that booklet. You really can. I have tried to write on every subject. Let me see if I can get line two now. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, hey, beloved Joseph. This is your friend Chuck in South Florida.
Hey, Fred.
Oh, I love you, brother.
I love you.
Jesus. Well, yeah, amen. All right, the final question of the show, how does the apostasy relate to blasphemy?
How does apostasy relate to blasphemy?
Amen.
Well, apostasy is people that turn away from the truth. They leave truth. They can still repent and come back to a point. To a point.
Amen.
Now, when that point is, I can't tell you. Only God knows. A person who is has apostatized can move right on into blasphemy, to where they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and then they can never repent. But an apostate may repent in the early stages. He gives them space to repent, the Bible says in Revelation.
Yep, the two almost run together.
Yeah, they do. They're kin. But apostasy cannot be the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But an apostate may continue on until they do blaspheme the Spirit.
Well, pray for the apostates then.
Oh, I know. I do all the time. I weep for people. I weep for people. I really do. And I'm grateful. I believe you must too.
Yeah, amen. I do.
All right. God bless you. You are a joy, my brother. You are a joy. What a joy. You know, it's amazing to me that there are so many people who don't believe the Bible, and so many people in the church who do not believe the infallible Bible. They say this was pure in its original, in the original copies, but it cannot be trusted to be pure now. Could I read you something that maybe you would listen to? This would be grand if you would hear it, because this is God's Word. It's in the book of Psalms, division 12, and here it is, chapter 12, Psalms 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. That's the Bible. Purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Listen, God said it. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, it's amazing, but Jesus was talking to David and said his father would keep them. You'll notice the word Lord there is all caps, L-O-R-D. That means Jehovah God. Thou shalt keep them, Jehovah God. Jesus was saying that of his father. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Are you kidding me? I live it.
God bless you. I love you.
All right. Take care, brother.
Call us quickly. You on the air. If you call, we'd be delighted. Let me look here and see where we're at. I see no additional ones on the email. I don't like to miss them. I do sometimes, and I'm sorry for that. Sometimes I go in junk mail. I don't know why that happens, but I don't have time to go to that. It's been a joy. I think we're on target. Remember now, any of these booklets, you have two of them. You keep calling until the lines are, as long as you'll call. We'll stay here as long as the phones are ringing. When the phones quit ringing, some short time after that, we'll be gone. Now, the church world has never been in such an unbiblical state. Doctrines are few and good doctrines are few and far between. Most preachers preach a little, you know, psychological dogma, a little sociology, a little self-help stuff. But so few really get you right in the middle. How long has it been since your preacher preached a sermon on the rapture of the church? How long has it been since he preached on sanctification and living a godly life? How long since you heard a great sermon on the righteousness of Christ that is available to every hungry soul out there? How long since you heard a sermon on being born again? How about the soon coming of the Lord? How about the great tribulation period and the Antichrist? How about the 1,000-year millennial reign? How about the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth? How long has it been? I mean, these wonderful truths, they'll keep you walking on about a foot off the ground, to be honest with you. You live in this Bible, and your feet sometimes hardly touch the ground as you go about your duties. People talk to me all the time, why are you so happy? Somebody said to me this morning, how old are you? I said, 78. He said, man, you 78, you sure don't look that. Are you still there? Is somebody on my line with me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I think I answered. I don't know. I got happy. I got happy. I'm a Christian that loves being a Christian. I promise you, 62 years, be 63 in March since I was saved. I was 16 years old. I was just a little rascal, I'm telling you, cussing, swearing, living like the devil. But Jesus found me and saved me. I didn't even know how to read. I had to learn to read with the Bible. I learned to read with the Bible. That's honest before God. That's the truth if I ever said it. Ah, what a joy it's been. What a joy it's been. And I love you, friend. I mean, what a broadcast. I love a broadcast like this. A lot of good questions. Warning you. Hey, we just talked about the Bible. We just talked about the Holy Scripture. And the Bible is infallible. I'm here to tell you, the Bible is infallible. You can believe it. There is no doubt about it. The Bible is infallible. And the King is coming soon. You can believe that. The King is coming soon. You call, you email. We want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Got to go here. The email, jrc@paulquick.org, local number 704-391-0588. And we start revival tomorrow night. Man, I hadn't said that. Mike Switzer, one of the best preachers in the country. We start revival tomorrow night. Don't miss it. 6 o'clock tomorrow. And then 7 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and maybe all week. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I want you to know that, my friend. God bless you.